Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine, Marie, and Julie.
Hi, Julie.
Hey, Christine. How you doing?
Doing good. Can you believe another week?
No, I can't believe it.
We get to be together again.
Oh, isn't that sweet?
Christine, Marie, and Julie together again.
Just like the past. It's another Sunday, yes. And we're together again. And we're your mother-daughter.
We are mother and daughter.
We're coaches.
Authors.
You're a psychotherapist. I'm a former teacher, a business owner. And what I really am doing is I'm getting my master's degree.
Isn't that fabulous? I'm so proud of you.
It's fabulous, except that my brain right now feels like it's going to explode.
Yeah, you're in that stretching stage.
Yes, and I've got a lot of other things going on. And sometimes I just want to crawl under the bed and just say, I want zero stimulation for the next hour.
Yeah.
I don't want anybody to talk to me. I don't want to see anything.
Right.
I want the room cold, my blanket warm, and I want to be no disturbing of my brain for an hour.
I thought, you know, it's been interesting to watch you. I mean, you basically have just started. But to see the psychological aspect of you getting your master's degree, because, I mean, obviously, I know who you are. This is not going to be any issue for you, obviously.
Right.
But your little quirks have come up, you know, like that where you've doubted yourself.
And right.
And the coursework has its own specific language,
right,
that you're not used to. You're actually learning that language for your master's in that sense, you know.
Right.
And that has been frustrating for you.
For sure.
So, but over these last few weeks to see, I think, was it yesterday or the day before you finally said, I've cracked the code a little bit.
No, I don't think I said I cracked the code. I think you keep saying you're going to crack the code.
I guess I keep putting that out there.
And I have faith that I will crack the code. We're going to talk about faith today. And if you haven't heard us before, what we like to do on these Sunday evenings, we like to bring a little lightness to the week. Especially during this election time, it gets a lot. The energy in the world is heavy.
Heavy.
There's a lot of things going on.
Dark.
There's a lot of
bullshit.
Violence going on. Mm-hmm. And what we do as coaches in our lives, you have a choice to choose where your focus goes.
Right.
And you can spend hours a day focusing on things that will not make you feel better.
Right.
And not move you forward into the places where you want to go.
Absolutely.
And then there's times you go, I can focus on lightness. And we like to pull out the gems to move our lives forward.
The little nuggets.
The little nuggets. And we have our show divided into three parts, basically. You know, we talk about first just the week in the past and what we've learned, how we move things forward. And then we have a little bit
about life with the girlfriends.
Yes, about life. And then we also have Elliot's Corner, where we really pull the nuggets out of our pets. They've taken the nuggets and I'm pulling it out of them.
Ow.
Ow, it hurt.
It hurt.
It hurt bad. And they don't know what's happening. They're like, what's going on? I feel nuggetless.
I just left my nuggets in the house.
My nuggets. You took my nuggets. And and then finally we have part of our show, we have what we call Pillar Talk, where we really kind of go more specifically talking about the things that...
The pillars of life.
Pillars of life.
Yeah, and we talk about those things and we go deeper into them.
And I'm going to swear sometimes, so if you're totally offended by swearing, just know that when I say a bad word, just hear beep. Bleep.
That's right.
You know, because I don't swear a lot. I'm not Howard Stern, who I did hear this week, which I'll talk to you about because I haven't heard him forever.
Old Howard.
Yeah.
Huh?
And
Baba Booey.
Yeah. Baba Booey. They didn't say Baba Booey. They must have moved on from that.
That's how long it's been.
Yeah, exactly. It's been a long time.
Yeah. We also have every once in a while, let's all go to the movies.
Yes, and you do a movie review, which is great.
We do our movie reviews. We give you the inside scoop on movies that have been out at least a year.
Yes.
A little bit more.
Yes, exactly.
Just in case you haven't.
Well, because I think... well, I,
nobody does that.
No, because I want to talk to you
about... We're the only ones that do that.
Yeah. And yes, exactly.
Exactly.
We give you current...
reviews of past movies.
And that's a knack.
That's a niche.
And I'll tell you why it's a niche. Because literally, as time goes by, that fervor of like, ooh, I heard this is an excellent movie.
Right.
And that just puts pressure on you to like the movie.
Right.
You know, you saw The Revenant.
I saw The Revenant.
Like, it's like Brett Favre's name. Like, is it Favre? Yeah,
fava beans.
Yeah, fava beans. But so
a little Chianti and some.
Now
fava
that the
beans.
Fever has gone away, and you also saw Black Mass a week
ago. Yes, I did. Yeah, I did. I already did a review on.
You
that.
Did. So you have to do a review, right. But they came out the exact same time.
Oh, they did.
And I believe Leonardo won the Academy Award.
Oops.
Even though Black.
Wow.
Mass. Yeah. Johnny Depp was nominated too. Yeah. I think. I'm pretty sure.
Wow.
So. This is what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about, for our pillar talk, we're going to talk about faith and goals and how sometimes they don't combine really well.
Sometimes they're just like, wait, what? What? What do I do?
And like, am I lying?
Yeah.
And what's going on?
Are you crazy?
And so we're gonna
supposed to do all this and get my master's?
Yes. We're going to have talk about faith. And then, but we're going to talk, I want to talk about right now, I want to do a little movie review, but I want to talk about this interview I heard with, it must have been over an hour long, with James Corden.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Not Josh Groden.
No, James Corden.
Right.
From the Late Late Show or Late Show.
Carpool Karaoke Dude.
Yes.
Which I love.
He was interviewed by Howard Stern. Can I tell the story why I was listening to Howard Stern?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
We got a new car yesterday.
Oh, okay.
You know, I've been desiring a minivan. I'm needing a minivan. But looking around, I'm one of those girls that I don't like to spend money on new cars. And so I keep a lookout for used cars. And I found one that I really wanted from Des Moines, which is a little while away, four hours away.
Just a four-hour trip.
And so I ended up going to Des Moines to pick up this car.
Mm-hmm.
And fell in love with it. Perfect price. But Doug drove there with me.
Mm-hmm.
And this happened all in like 24 hours, by the way.
Yes, it did.
And he has Sirius Radio. And I'm like, I think Howard Stern's on Sirius. So I listened to Howard Stern on the radio because he drove the van back because he wouldn't drive the van back. And so I drove his car. And that's how I happened to be listening to Howard Stern.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to listen to Howard Stern when he was on Real Radio years ago. I think he was in the Chicago market for a short time. But he had James
Corden
on for a good hour, and I found him to be fascinating.
He is an interesting character.
Now, the biggest fascination I had with him, I think he's in his early 30s.
Mm-hmm.
He's got two kids, a wife. He was in this Broadway show called The History Boys. I think it was called.
No, I don't know that.
It was also in London. So he kind of came up in that realm first, and he had some hit stuff going on in London and all that stuff. Mm. And the president of CBS, I think, saw him doing a one-man play, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm.
And that's how he goes, hey, I want you to do the Late, Late, Late Show with us. And he came to fame through, really, Carpool Karaoke.
Yeah.
Where he takes these stars and they just drive around. And it's fun. Yeah.
He did, he did Michelle Obama.
Yes.
And they drove around the White House.
What I found so interesting is that Howard Stern wanted to really dig, you know, get some digs saying, hey, you know, I heard Stephen Colbert ain't doing too hot. Because Stephen Colbert's ahead of him. And, you know, Stephen Colbert, who had this huge success on Comedy Central.
Right.
On the Colbert Report.
Right.
Came over and did The Late Show.
Uh-huh.
You know, took over David Letterman's position. And hasn't had great success. But, it's a good show.
Right.
And he goes, come on, everybody loves you. Stephen's kind of doesn't have that fever anymore. What are you thinking? And he goes, I'm telling you the truth. You're mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, you're just mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, I also don't get this idea of scheduling and cons and time slots anymore. He goes, that's just a dated.
How true.
You know, he goes,
it's a dated concept.
He goes, my son will never think to himself, oh, it's on now, watch it tonight when it's on. He will always be able to, whatever he wants to watch, will pull it up, he'll find it somewhere and watch it at that moment.
Wow.
He will never have to go, oh, the Late Late Show. And I thought,
that is wild.
And so he was eye-opening to me because he's in his early 30s.
Yeah. This is a new world.
And this is a new world. And he said, because he goes, you know, when I got hired for the Late Late Show, I really talked to him. He goes, we don't get the ratings that much. I don't understand it. He goes, but I do get the internet. And so, you know, when I have Adele and Carpool Karaoke and we have 100 million hits.
Right.
That's awesome. And he goes, and last week we didn't have any Carpool Karaoke's and we had over 45 million hits in different parts of our shows.
Hmm.
And so I look at that and I go, I think we're doing well. I think we're doing okay. Because
He understands that.
What we're trying to do, because what I believe now is these shows need to be, he goes, you go to the 10:30 slot. If you're in the Midwest, you know, the, what are those guys called? Jimmy Kimmel, mm-hmm. Jimmy Fallon,
right.
Stephen Colbert. You get those guys for what's kind of going on at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit more relevance of like the day's news. But you kind of, it goes, the internet's really about relevance in a bigger global sense,
right.
A little timeless in some sense, but more instant.
Right.
And people can watch it anytime they want,
whatever.
He goes, it's not my job to monetize. And if I had to worry about that stuff, I might get a little more freaked out.
Oh, wow.
And
what he said?
Yes.
It's not my job to monetize.
It's not my job to monetize.
That's so good.
And I thought, see, that's what's going on.
He's brilliant, by the way. I love him.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, too. It's not lost on me that you're pulling up Howard Stern, which obviously wasn't live.
No, it wasn't
live.
He has two stations on Sirius.
Because
he has
saying.
Decades of content.
Right.
And so this one, the show that I was listening to, the James Corbin.
Corden,
thank you, interview. I keep thinking Josh Corbin.
Josh Groban.
So I'm getting all confused. Yeah. But anyway, James, let's call him James. This was before
Cordon Bleu.
Cordon, thank you. You know what?
Mm, thanks, Mama.
Yeah, thank you, Mama.
You're welcome.
Anyway, this is right before he did the Grammy Emmys, not the Emmys, Tonys, because mm-hmm. he did the Tonys this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's got to be like 4 or 5 months old, I'm guessing. Mm-hmm.
Probably,
at least. But it was right before. And he had, you know, he hadn't had a lot of stuff ready yet. And he goes, well, you better get going on that. He goes, no, it'll be okay. He goes, it's just meant to be, I keep it light, keep it fun. It's just a one-time deal. He goes, I don't really rely on reviews very much unless I know I didn't do my best. Because you can, you know, if I didn't do my best, then you're like, mm-hmm. You know, you could have done better. But if mm-hmm. you did your best,
what are you going to do?
You know, people didn't like it. All right, move on.
Yeah.
It really will be the next thing.
Yes.
And,
I bet he put Howard in his place.
He kept up with Howard very well, and I thought that was great.
Because Howard can be.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, brutal.
Oh, for sure. And it was sweet. Because he was talking about a time, James was talking about a time he was going out a lot in London and in New York, and he wasn't dating. He goes, and I was going out a lot because I wanted to meet someone so I can stay in. Yeah. And then I started, which is so crazy, right?
Yeah, but it's true, though.
That's true. And so he was going through therapy because he was realizing that he just couldn't figure out how to be alone.
Mm-hmm.
And so he started getting good at being alone. Like, he'd go do his job, he'd come home, make himself dinner, go to sleep, wake up, you know, go back to work,
mm-hmm.
didn't have to go out.
Groundhog
what did that look
day.
Like? And he was introduced to his wife. He's married and has two kids. And, from a friend of a friend. And I think who it was who introduced him to his wife was the star of Preacher. Do you know that show on AMC?
Yes.
It's kind of a dark, wild show.
Yes, yes. The star of it?
Yes.
Who's I don't
kind
know
of
his name.
Hunky.
He's
I don't
hunky,
either.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, if I had the story straight in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And they started talking, you know, back and forth. And he just said, listen, I just went to the place in my life where I don't want to go out. And if you kind of want to learn to be, like, hang out with me at my house, I'll hang out at your house and I'll make you dinner and just learn to be quiet, mm-hmm. I'm up for it. But if you're not there, that's okay too.
Right.
And so, so he started with the rules like that.
Yeah, that's cool. Like, yeah. Otherwise, somebody, you know, I'm not on the party circuit. I'm not this.
And yeah. That. And he said, 'cause I just was realizing I was just partying way too much and not doing bad things. I just was... Mm-hmm. I didn't want that anymore.
Yeah, and it's kind of an old soul. Like a vain life.
And then Howard goes, well, I heard that you guys spent $250,000 on your wedding. And he goes, yeah, it's kind of true. It was a weekend event. And I guess the One Direction guys were there. And, and so it must have been a really fun weekend.
Yeah.
And so forth. But I just loved his take on everything. And I thought, this guy is really just, well, he's smart.
Yeah.
And
there's something so appealing about him.
Oh, 100%.
I mean, when I got to know him just through watching little, you know, carpool karaoke or whatever. And just the way he acts with the celebrities. It's so fun.
Well, yeah.
He just seems like, man, I want to hang with you. You're a good sport.
Yeah.
You don't demand to be like the center of attention.
Exactly.
You know, you just feel like you could hang with him.
One of the things he did on the Emmy or the Tonys I thought was hysterical, he did a Law and Order review of all the people that were nominated for Tonys and how many times they've been on Law and Order through the course of the decades.
Oh, that's so great.
And it was so funny because one of the gentlemen was an older guy and they showed pictures of him being, you know, a criminal in one Law and Order, a judge in another,
a lawyer,
a witness in another.
Oh, that's great.
And it was hysterical because I'm sure
that New York is just full of actors willing to do Law and Order over the last 20 years.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. They need a pool of, you know, they need a pool of actors. Yeah. I'm sure that once Law and Order stopped, they're like, what? Come back. Come back now. Please.
That's
great. I know that still Law and Order Special Victims Unit is still on, so maybe they can still get going there and so forth.
Even though our Elliot is no longer
Elliot Stabler is no longer there. Yeah. Exactly.
He's tough, but he's got a heart of gold.
Yes. That's the line my father used when somebody asked him, what'd you name your dog Elliot? Where'd that come from? Oh, from Law and Order Special Victims Unit, you know, from Elliot Stabler. Yeah, you know, he's tough, but he's got a heart of gold, and he always gets his man.
He always gets his man.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. What I thought was very interesting, though, about the interview, too, Howard goes, aren't people surprised, don't take this the wrong way, goes, or take it any way you want to, that you're not gay, you know, because...
Really?
Yeah, and it's kind of funny, because in the beginning, I thought he was gay.
Really?
I don't know why.
Yeah.
I think because he has that...
He doesn't come across to me.
Oh, really? Yeah. Initially, for a brief second.
You thought.
And then I go, oh, no. Not that I care one way or another. It's not about that.
Right.
And he goes...
But usually you sort of go, yeah, probably.
Yeah. And he goes, and Howard's like, you know, because you're Broadway and you're like dancing and you like the singing and you're kind of flamboyant. And he goes, no, I've never had that. Anybody ever asked that before? And I go, because I thought the only criteria of being gay is to like, and he said, you know, male genitalia. And everybody started laughing. He goes, oh, you're right. That's really the only criteria.
You're like, oh, my God, you like Broadway? Gay. Oh, my God, jazz hands.
Jazz hands. Gay. No, I like Broadway because I like Broadway.
And I love jazz hands.
And I love it all, you know. Exactly. I love singing and dancing and jazz hands. Yeah. I think it's great. Yeah. So
New
I
York,
thought that was
New
a
York.
Funny tidbit. But I just liked his... I liked his glance at the future.
I did too. That was really eye opening to me.
Yeah, because we still talk about, like yesterday we had that moment. You know, you were watching the Revenant, whatever the hell it's called.
The Revenant.
And you said, I just don't want to spend two minutes. Because one of your criteria for a good movie is got to be
on Saturday nights.
An hour and a half long.
Right,
and this
90
did
minutes.
Not gonna, it wasn't going to do it. It was at least 2.5 hours.
Oh, no, yeah.
And I said,
easy.
I was happy when I saw the movie because someone told me it was 3 hours long, and it wasn't. It was 2.5 hours. It just felt like 3 hours. It's a beautiful movie. It's just depressing. The violence, it's just depressing.
Are we ready to do Let's
No, not yet. Because here's the thing. You said, I said, hey, why don't you see that, go to demand, pull it out, rent it for free because it's on demand through HBO, and then you can fast forward the hour of scenery. before.
The hour and a half.
The hour and a half of scenery.
Yeah.
And then
I really didn't get it, what you were telling me.
Well, and then here's the idea that you get to watch what you want to watch whenever you want to watch.
Right.
Instead, you went old school.
Yes.
And you went, well, no, it starts at 7 p.m., and I'm going to start it at 7 p.m. I'm going to have my Saturday night dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, and then you did something a little more edgy. You paused it. So
yes.
Normano could see the full moon that was out there.
That's right.
Not almost. It was kind of starting to crest a little
bit.
The
super moon.
It was a super moon. It's really close to the Earth. And so I thought that was
interesting. That wasn't old school.
Yeah.
I paused the movie.
That was not old school, pausing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But deciding to see it at 7 o'clock, because that's when it was on, that was old school.
That's old school.
It's going to be a new brave world.
Yeah.
It's going to be a new brave world. We've got Uber having driverless cars, but still having a guy
still
sit
having
there.
To have a man.
Well,
I'll be your host for this evening.
Yes, and I'm curious what the kids 20 years from now, what their lives are going to be like.
I can't even imagine, because I watch these little ones look at phones, and just use their fingers,
And we've seen, you know, I've seen people go to their computer screen and start touching it and going, oh, I forgot this is not a touch screen.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, my gosh. You know?
There's that one commercial. It's, all I remember is the whole big family's in this kitchen, and the kitchen's all white, lots of windows. And it seems like they're having breakfast or something, and everybody's got their phone and taking pictures of what they're eating and doing their Facebook and getting followers, even daddy is doing that, you know.
Yeah.
And it just boggles my mind, but that's the new world, and that's what they're selling.
Yes.
You know.
Well, and it boggles my mind too, because here they are having a family dinner and they all have their phone in their hands.
Yeah, nobody's connecting with each other.
And bringing up a Bravo thing over the week, the Deck below deck. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, while the cruising,
and
they're in the Caribbean, I think.
Right.
And this group of women came on that were all Instagram friends.
Right.
Which I don't see how you can become friends on Instagram.
Because, in 10-second increments.
I don't know how you become
not
friends
anywhere.
Not even
10 seconds, is it?
I think I've just missed that connection with people or whatever. But it was very interesting.
Because none of them really connected.
Everybody had their phone with them all the time.
Right.
And one of the staff said, well, it's kind of interesting because literally I could just text them their meals.
Right.
Their menus.
Right.
I don't really even have to be there because half the time they're not acknowledging me anyway.
Not, exactly.
And it's so.
It is kind of weird because there are people that, your dog's even like that, especially when he's doing Pokemon.
Yeah.
I mean, he's in the room. People are having conversations and he's gone. He's physically there, but mentally absent,
right.
You know,
mentally, and you're just going, what is going on?
Yeah.
And when we talked last week about anxiety and depression linked to not being in the moment,
right?
When you focus on the past, you can
be depressed.
When you're focusing on the future,
in
not good ways,
right.
But you get anxious,
right.
Have anxiety. When you're in the present moment, you are at peace. And you brought that wonderful saying that. But every moment well lived, gives the past is a dream of
joy.
And
a vision of hope,
and a vision of hope.
Right, right.
And if you just focus on that, the present moment.
Yeah.
I mean, I would hate to think that my whole life, looking back, would just be my neck hurting because I'm just focusing on my phone.
Yeah, that's what they're saying, though.
Yeah,
is that that's a. Like a physical thing happening now, this neck issue.
And none of it makes me happy. Like
no.
Doing work
what
on
does
my
it
phone
do?
Doesn't make me happy.
And how is it productive? How does it make you money?
Yeah.
How do you monetize
that? How do you monetize it?
Unless you're like 0.0001 cent. I don't know.
I don't either.
But speaking of TV, though, the Kardashians had been in Cuba.
Uh-huh.
And there's no internet
or
cell phone in Cuba. So they all went and they had to give up their and they actually went cold turkey.
Right.
They were, you know, what cuz like Kim is like a selfie freak.
Yes.
You know, or they live on their on their Instagrams.
And how do they fare? They fared okay.
They did. You know who didn't though? Was the mom who's used to
contacting with their kids all the time, and she wasn't there.
Yeah, she didn't go.
And so that was interesting
to
see that happen.
To see that happen.
Yeah. I'm going to just break from our show for 1 second and talk just literally for a minute because I want to go into Elliot's Corner and then into our pillar talk.
No Revenant talk?
Oh, today? Yes, and Revenant too.
I got to talk about my movie that I saw.
I had this thought yesterday because I was seeing something about Kim Kardashian's picture that broke the internet, you know, the one where she's exposed.
She's naked?
Yeah, that one, but the one that shows her just her butt. Like, she's almost looks like a famous picture from Catherine, not Hepburn. Who did Breakfast at Tiffany?
Audrey Hepburn?
Audrey Hepburn, thank you. You know, she has that kind of look. You know, she's got the bow in her hair.
Uh-huh.
Kinda, and then, you see her back and her butt. And the thing I don't get about Kim, is that typically when you have bigger parts of your body, in the natural world, they're cellulite. I mean, what did these women do to have bigger butts?
A lot of stuff.
And not have cellulite.
Yeah, I think they actually do stuff.
I think they do too. Yeah. I think it's some kind of plumping mechanism.
Something.
To have, because it's not all muscle.
No.
I mean, that would look different.
Right.
I mean, it's partially muscle. And then there's, I'm not going to say they're fat. It's just natural fat.
Right.
You know.
Right.
How do you get, in the natural world.
And not have that dimple.
Yeah. Yeah. How does that work? Yeah. I don't get it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not saying that it's fake. I'm just saying it's sort of like when you meet a woman who's had Botox her whole life. And then she says, oh, I haven't had plastic surgery.
Right.
Well, what's Botox? Well, no, that's just care.
Right.
That's just self-care.
That's just upkeep.
That's upkeep. Like, holy cow.
Well, it's not surgery.
Surgery. You're not going on a knife.
Yeah.
You know. Okay. So you're ready to do a little technical difficulty. I had to, cough a second. Sorry about that. There's a little break there. But let's go right into the...
Let's all go to the movies.
And talk about a year-old movie.
Let's all go to the movies.
Yes.
And we're here.
Girlfriend, tell me the movie.
You've got to get the music, girlfriend. Yes. Otherwise, I'm going to be singing this whole thing.
That's okay. I don't want to do
it. Last night, your daddy and I saw The Revenant.
Yes.
The Leo DiCaprio movie, where he probably has only about between 5 and 10 lines of dialogue.
Right.
The entire 3-hour movie. Okay. Here's my Sherpa hat review. I know it got it did pretty good, I guess, at the
box. Yeah, it did okay.
He won the Academy Award and stuff.
Right.
But in general, I would say between 2 and 3 Sherpa hats.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't that I'm really watching something great.
Right.
It was dark. Truly, for me, a dark movie.
Right.
And
literally just a dark movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was dark.
I even wondered if it was in black and white, you know.
Right. Well, because it's supposed to be a backdrop of snow a lot of times. Mm-hmm. So really, it is black and white. You know. Yeah. And
it's so desolate.
Mm-hmm.
And the energy of it is so tragic.
Yes.
And. You know, on a Saturday night, I really would like to escape into some fun.
Right.
I want to laugh. I didn't want to see him, slitting open a horse and getting inside of him and sleeping in the horse.
The horse is dead, though, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. I was trying to think. Yes. I didn't remember that part of the movie.
You don't remember that? That's what I remember.
Oh, how funny.
That's all I remember.
I just remember being cold the entire time I'm seeing this movie.
Well, he was cold, and that's why he went inside the horse.
Right.
You know. So I hope I didn't give something away for people.
No, but that, I have to say, that scene was done before in Star Wars.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Somebody slept inside a horse?
No, it wasn't a horse. I don't know what that creature was called, but it was a horse-like creature.
It died.
That died. And they're like, and I think, it's Princess Leia. And who's Princess Leia's counterpart, the male counterpart? Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't want to give it away that they were brothers.
Han Solo. Yeah, the other guy.
Yeah. Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, don't give it away.
He's only 30 years old.
We're going to have to go back to from here to eternity.
Yeah.
I give it 5 Sherpa hats. All the stars are dead, but...
I don't want to give it away. The plot.
I don't
want to
give it away. But...
And then, you know, so, but that was done where you had to cut open a creature from space and get inside to keep, stay warm, and so forth. Okay. I don't remember that scene at all. I think that's the problem with that movie. You were telling what was going on. I'm like, I don't remember this movie at
right,
all.
Right,
I remember being cold. I give it two Sherpa hats as well.
Yeah.
And I think, literally, if you're wanting a good time, do not watch this movie.
I agree.
The energy is so horrible,
So, people are so cruel to each other.
Yes.
And
you could be cruel to each other when there was nothing. I mean, in some ways, you can't be cruel to each other when there's billions of people on the planet.
Right.
We wouldn't survive.
Right.
It just wouldn't happen. Right. But people... When you're at that level of being desperate, all the time, violence is nothing.
Nothing.
I mean, just this crappiness that went on back then.
Yes.
And so you're right. I'm just like, this movie did not have to be made.
No.
I don't really know what the point of the movie was.
I don't either. But it was based on a book. It was based on the best-selling novel, The Revenant.
Interesting.
That's what I saw in the credits.
I can imagine it being a good book only if you're one of those people who like to have pictures painted for you and lots of vivid words.
Yeah, you could just enjoy just being back.
It's really so cold out there. It's bone chillingly cold.
It really is
cold. It's bone, cold. My bones are cold.
Yeah. Some of the coldness, though, I didn't like. Like, if he falls in the river, he should be a lot colder than he was.
You're not cold enough.
I agree. That's what I was saying. Come on. And he still was always able to make fire no matter where.
The thing that bugged me about this movie when it came out is that Leonardo, the environmentalist that he is, which I'm so, I'm grateful for him, these environmentalists, whatever. He commented that we had a hard time finding locations in the wintertime because, of global warming, there wasn't any snow on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And when this came out, it was a time when we've had lots of cold winters.
Right.
We have.
Right.
You know, I think Buffalo just had like 12 feet of snow dumped on them.
Right.
Like, we'll go film there.
Okay? Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of places in the United States now that really have a crap load of snow.
I did wonder that because of the scenery and stuff, there were no telephone lines.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, where were
they? It was just raw scenery.
Yeah. Yeah, or
where did they shoot at? Someplace like Uganda?
Montana?
No.
They did not
shoot in America.
Yes.
No.
I believe, or Canada. I know for a fact they wouldn't have shot in Uganda. Really? No, I just know that everything is GPS.
Northern Uganda.
Or Southern Uganda, depending on where Uganda's at. Is it North Hemisphere or Southern Hemisphere? I don't know where it was filmed. I think it was filmed either in the United States or America.
I need you to look that one up.
Do you want me to look that up?
Where was The Revenant?
I don't know.
Where was The Revenant filmed? I'm going to bet you $5 that it was not in America.
All right. Well, that's fine.
It just
fine.
Didn't look like America to me.
Well, why didn't it? I thought it could look like the Rockies.
To the Rockies? Okay.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. I'm going to explain why we say Sherpa hats. Because Sherpas are guides up the mountain. And Marie and Christine Marie are your guides up the mountain of older movies.
That's exactly right. Mm. Well, just quickly glancing, the first...
What's it say?
Oh, here we go. First said Los Angeles, California. But then it said Argentina.
Yay!
Well, that's Uganda.
Well, almost.
They had 19 filming locations.
Oh, did they?
In
Argentina, Uganda.
Yeah. I don't think I can tell you right now. None is Uganda.
Yeah, but it sounds you can see where I would have gotten it.
No, I really can't. But
no.
That's okay.
Okay.
I think it's fun. I think it's fun.
So is that's my movie review?
Yeah, I don't have a movie review.
Okay.
I'm.
We'll just go on.
Overwhelmed all the time.
We'll just go on to Elliot's Corner.
Elliot's Corner. Let me just think real quick. Yeah, I gave my movie review of The Revenant as well.
Mm-hmm.
Two Sherpas. Mm-hmm. Yada, yada, yada.
Shish, boom, ba.
Shish, boom, ba. Unless you want to, if you're in for a night of coldness, go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Or as Mom said, not cold enough in those summer certain areas.
I like it colder.
You ready for a little Elliot's Corner?
Please.
I once had a dog, or should I say, he once had me. Welcome to Elliot's Corner. Well, here we are at Elliot's Corner. And here's where we talk about what we can learn from our pets. We have one pet.
Elliot.
Dad calls you his little pet sometimes.
That's right.
We're not talking about that kind of pet.
No.
We're talking about our dog, Elliot. What we can learn from animals.
You call him your little man.
My little man.
And sometimes little shithead. I think you don't know that, but you do quite a bit.
Well, that's so sad because
it
we
is.
Talk about with Faith
that
you
to that
claim,
now.
You say what you want.
Yes.
And I guess I'm getting what I've been saying.
I know. Well, you depressed me last night because you informed me that in a room that I don't go into very often, you said that that's Elliot's room because he likes to look out. It's the sunroom.
Sunroom.
And he likes to be at the
sofa. It's got three-sided windows.
And just look at the animals.
Yeah.
And they like to look at him. And
But
you told me that he has damage to of the wind blinds on the window,
which is very surprising because he hasn't done that I mean those blinds have been there for the last 2 years he's been alive, you know. And so that I go in like,
it was so depressing because one of my pet peeves, you know this,
yes,
in my whole life,
yes,
I really hate one thing:
damaged blinds.
I hate to see look driving down a street,
yep,
and you see these damaged blinds, and you know it's like cat blinds.
You call them cat blinds.
I call them cat blinds.
Yes,
and I it's like fingernails on a chalkboard to me.
100%.
And now
you've got them.
We have them.
And then you go, oh my gosh.
I attract that into my life?
You have 9 blinds in this room.
Yes.
3 on each window.
Yes.
Well, excuse me, 8 blinds.
And now I got to find 2 matching ones.
Oh, I mean, it just seems almost
overwhelming.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And it's funny that you say that. I mean, this has been a pet peeve my whole life. It's sort of, you know, you told me, you know, never wear socks with thongs. And I'm not talking about the thongs that go up your butt. I'm talking about the flip-flops.
That's right.
You know. And
that was a good rule, honey.
It was a really good rule that I broke once. And I almost got, you know,
excommunicated.
Yeah. Like, how, Julie, have I not gave you my wisdom on this? I want to say departed my wisdom. What's that word? Is it departed wisdom? I don't know.
Imparted.
Mm-hmm. I got Leonardo DiCaprio movies on me, The Departed. No, imparted wisdom on me. Exactly. And so here you are, faced with this tragedy.
Yes.
That you're one of those homes.
What do I do?
That have cat blinds.
I know.
I don't know what we're going to do. Here's what I'm doing. I'm raising the blinds.
Yes.
So that no one can tell.
Yes.
That.
Thank you.
And gratefully in the back, we have coverage of bushes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I hopefully no one will see them.
Yeah. But that's what I learned from my pet this week.
How disappointed you can be.
Yeah. How disappointed that the one thing that the one peccadillo that I have came to be.
Yes. And I don't know what that's about, except that happens a lot where I'll say something like, I don't care if anything happens, but I don't want this to happen.
Right.
And you go, well, what you focus on, you attract.
I guess.
You didn't focus on the blinds.
No.
You know?
No.
And this is where you get a little like crazy. Like, how did this happen? It happened because it did happen.
You know, that's what it's teaching me, is that not to judge those cat blind people.
Yeah.
Because
I
was getting a little judgy of them.
Yeah. And you're like, just fix those blinds.
Yeah.
And you're like,
and then you're like, then and you go, oh, I understand you love your little guy.
Yep.
And he likes to look out the window and taunt the squirrels and the deer.
And it's only your fault that you didn't raise all the blinds up to begin with.
Exactly.
So sometimes we have to cut our animals some slack. They don't know our picadillos. And just, you know, love them anyway.
Yes.
And sometimes we're the ones that have to change our behavior so that they can have their behaviors.
So we have to change our thinking and our behavior.
Yeah, exactly. The only other thing I learned from Elliot this week is I'm going to go back to, is that it's okay to let someone know how appreciative they are in your life. like to be overly happy when they when you see them.
Yeah.
I came home last night late, and I literally felt that he missed me.
Oh, he did.
And
he was so depressed with
that. I thought to myself, I felt good because he missed me.
Yeah.
And I remember this story.
Do you remember the one time Linda came over to pick Katie Lou up?
Yep.
And he hadn't seen Linda in a while. And he just kissed her and kissed her. And she goes, finally she says, Elliot,
stop kissing
please
me.
Please stop kissing me.
Yes.
No, I'm not going
to.
No,
again, you're mine.
Yeah, I love you, baby.
And so I learned, and like she felt loved by it.
Yes.
I felt loved by it last night. And I remember Ron Santos. He's an old cubby that was
beloved
WGN radio guy.
Yes.
And he passed away. But I remember one time he was in the hospital and he was being interviewed or talking on the radio, and his grandson came in, and little kid, and he said, "Hold on, everybody," to the radio, which is kind of interesting. And he made a point to be overly excited to see his grandson.
Yes.
And his grandson was happy to see him, you know? Mm-hmm. And you get that. It's like, what would it take to take a second out of your life to say, "Hey, guys,
hello, I'm so happy to see you.
Yeah. And I mean, nothing.
I know.
And so that's what I'm taking away this week.
Good.
How do we, this week, when we meet people,
let's really show our appreciation.
Yeah, let's show our, hey, kiddo, let's really,
really
show.
Happy to see you.
Yeah, even if you're, be in the moment.
Yeah.
Even
I mean, they said that there are certain people, like they said, Bill Clinton had this amazing power to, like, when he connected with you, he made you feel as if you were the only person in the world.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
That's a pretty awesome
skill. Yeah, and I'm sure he used it for good and evil.
That was his dastardly plan.
Yeah, it bugs me, though, when people talk about him in that respect, like he's still that kind of guy now.
Oh,
because
yeah,
I look at him and I'm like, no, he's not.
Well, you don't know.
I know, I really don't know. No. I think he's more tired now. I think everything he's done in the past makes him like, I've had a good life.
I'm tired now.
I'm going to take a chill pill.
Yeah.
Okay, ready for a little pillar talk?
Yes.
Pillow talk. Here's our Doris Day song. I love it. Because we can't find a pillar talk song. We went pillow talk.
Yeah, I think it's great.
Yes.
I love her.
Not to be confused with the pillow talk by Zayn.
No.
From the...
One Direction,
yeah. Yes. Exactly. So here we're going to talk
about... The cute one from One Direction.
Yeah. Seriously. He's not Harry. Yeah. Harry with the hair. Mm. I think his name is Harry, right? The guy with the big hair.
I don't know, Jills.
I really don't know. Anyway... I really don't know any of their songs either, One Direction songs either.
No.
That's how.
Does anybody, though?
I don't know. Somebody must. I don't know. Mm. When you say I don't know about something more than 5 or 6 times, it's time to move on.
Yeah, because I really don't
know.
I can probably BS my way through it. But
I really don't know. So here we are talking about faith.
Really?
And goals. Yes,
really?
Our pillar talk talking about faith. Faith is a very powerful, powerful thing in our lives.
Faith is a powerful mechanism.
When you talk about the law of attraction, it's
and a lot of people think it's all about religion.
Yes,
and it's not.
No, it's not.
Nobody owns faith.
No, they don't. That's exactly right. Nobody owns faith.
Don't put baby in a corner.
Yeah, don't put faith in a corner. Faith is too big for that. Let that baby go. Let that faith go. But, you know, there's that concept, like, be, do, have. You know, people always got confused that, I'll start being that person once I have everything.
Yeah.
I'll feel prosperous once I'm rich.
Like Doug was saying the other day, I can't wait. When I win the lottery, I'm going to become a philanthropist.
Yes.
And just do good deeds all over the world.
Yeah. And I said, hey, you can do that now.
Hello.
You don't have to wait.
Yeah.
You be, do, have.
Right.
You be, do, have.
Yeah, exactly.
Be the thing that you want to be now.
Do the thing.
Then you get to do the thing and you get to have it.
Yes.
And now it just sounds like common knowledge. And faith is interesting in the sense of talking about Christianity in some sense, because it talks about, in the Bible, it talks about stating things.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
So it's faith is things hoped for and evidence. It's evidence.
Evidence.
It's a tangible thing. It's also the evidence.
Yeah. When you say, well, where's the evidence that this is on its way?
My faith.
My faith.
And someone who doesn't believe in faith will go, well, that's not evidence. How can faith? Yes, it is. How can faith be evidence? And that's where we get so effed up and anxiety provoking and right. failure because you're like, well, it's not here yet.
Right.
Well,
because
your faith
right.
is your evidence that it's here.
Yes.
That's coming. You're pulling it from that, pulling it from the spiritual realm into the 3D world.
Right.
Your energy is bringing it down, and it does get hard because you don't yeah. want to be lying.
No, and it gets. I think where it gets challenging. You talked to me the other day. You're saying, you know, sometimes, Mom, the idea that this goal is over a year away is almost too much.
Yeah.
Because I'm having to hold the faith.
Right.
And even if it, we see that we have an end date of this goal, but yet there's no surety.
There's no surety.
It doesn't look like it can possibly happen.
No.
And, seriously.
And then you go, well, you still have faith that it will come to pass.
Right.
And if your timeline's wrong, well, that's not your problem either. Time is irrelevant in some sense.
Well, we've done lots of shows on Einstein time
right.
and Newtonian time. And
right. And so we got this little bit of a card in the mail about faith. And, Jesus spoke the desired end results, and I can do the same. You know, and Jesus calls things to be as though they are not. In law of attraction,
right.
you state
right.
what you want to have done. Because
you call
what,
it into being.
Yes, because you want...
You state it.
Because what comes out of your mouth is what your future will bring.
Yes. The beginning was the Word. I mean, you declare and you decree things. You know, would you be willing to tell that one Bible story? I think it was Zechariah and Elizabeth. The angel came
right.
and told Elizabeth that she was going to have a bear a son, and
right.
they were well in their hundreds or something.
Yeah, go ahead, tell it, girlfriend.
But well, the only thing was that Zechariah went, that's crazy because
right.
we're really old.
It's
and
not
going to like
happen.
That. It's not going to happen. And so immediately the angel made him dumb.
Took away
his power
to speak. Yes.
Because he knew that if he let him keep speaking, he would be speaking
against
what was supposed to happen.
Right.
And that's how powerful the power of the tongue is.
I want to say, go deeper with that concept,
sure.
with that story.
Yeah.
The first time I heard that story, I didn't get the power of that story.
Okay.
I thought it was a punishment.
Oh.
It wasn't a punishment. It was, hey,
yeah.
you got to keep your effing mouth shut.
Right.
Because you can't get the stuff done if you're going to be speaking it in the opposite terms.
Exactly.
You can't do it.
One of the most powerful quotes for me in the Bible is that life and death is in the power of the tongue.
Yes. And you...
Just meditate on that for
yeah.
a while.
Yeah. And so it is... It's... You have to choose to speak well of yourself
mm-hmm.
and your present and your future
mm-hmm.
and even define your past in a way of I'm just growing.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about success and you said to me before the show, we've got to talk about the success too because people are defining it differently. And I said, well, girlfriend, what is the definition of
you
success?
Said that to me.
I go, I don't know.
What do you mean? What's the definition
and,
of success?
And then, you said, well, it's a journey, not a destination. I'm like, of course.
Because
I got that. I had one of those V8 moments.
Boom.
Oh, boom. Could have had a V8. But it was...
Because most people define it as the end thing.
Well, and truly, I was listening to this one person talk about faith, and he was saying, when I've achieved a goal... through faith and work, of course, he goes, I'm never that excited. And people are like, oh, why aren't you so excited? You got this done. That's great. He goes, well, it's already been done for me for a long time
right.
in my mind. I've already, right. and now I'm on to the next thing.
Right.
You will never be done.
No.
And
talk about, who was it on Jeff Lewis?
Yes.
On what was it on Bravo?
Yes.
Flipping
out.
Yeah.
Flipping
that's
out.
It.
Right.
He's a very much of a drama queen and everything. And somebody in his group, he does house flipping.
Who is his partner, really? The dark haired girl woman.
Jenny.
So here's Jeff and Jenny, and Jeff's the boss, and Jenny's basically his right hand man, and who is who has big faith and tends to her spiritual side a lot. And when they're struggling, she'll say something like, well, just give it to God.
Yeah, just roll it
over. Roll it to God. It'll all work out. God will take care of it. And then he'll go, God's not going to take care of anything. I got to have a plan. I got to instigate my plan. I got to work on the plan. And hopefully it'll all get done. And if it doesn't get done, I don't know what I'm going to do about
it. Like, God has nothing to do with this.
And
it was really interesting to see because, in a way, you do have to do the work.
Right.
A lot of people think, oh, God will handle it, and just they sit on the couch.
Well, yeah, but it's interesting because I was reading this one article, and this one preacher man was talking, and preacher man.
Jill, where are you from?
I know. And he was saying, I really wanted this thing to happen, and I was having faith for it. And I was meditating on it, and, you know, God said to me, I asked you to have faith for it, not to pay for it. Because I was thinking of all these different ways I could pay for it. Like, well, I can do this, 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 and this. God said, I asked you to have faith for it, not to pay for it. And I thought, well, that's just an interesting concept.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And so forth. And I'm still not there. I'm still not there.
Well, it's a mystery.
It's really a mystery.
But we have to learn this mystery. We have to play with it.
And so I get, though, that people who live by faith, mm-hmm. and I say law of attraction or the spiritual laws, when you state things as you want them to be, mm-hmm. It's hard to live in or to be a part of people's lives who don't believe that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because they just think you're crazy.
Yeah, because you need support.
You need support.
In it.
And you need people to realize this is what you're doing. You're
like,
going by faith.
There are things right now that I'm really having, you know, to have faith for.
Right.
And none of it is like short term.
Right.
You know, it's like, you know, 8 months out, 9 months, a year out, you know, and all that stuff. And like watching The Revenant last night.
Yeah.
And how I felt after that didn't coordinate with my faith goals at all.
I totally agree with you.
It took me down, baby.
You know, when you're doing things, when you're trying to live a good life, the life that you get to choose to live,
right.
It's almost you have to be so disciplined not to put crap in your soul.
And I was putting crap in my soul.
And I thought to myself, by any kind of movie standard, this was a good movie.
Sure.
Good actors, good cinematography, right. Good directing. I just don't get the value of it.
Right.
You know, and you go, okay.
I didn't feel the grace. I didn't feel ennobled, you know, afterwards.
For sure. For sure. And you go, okay, well, this is just interesting. And so how do you, on a daily basis, choose to live by faith? And that's where we're asking you to be. Pick your goal. Know where you're heading. Mm-hmm. And know that you're coming from a place of victory. Mm-hmm. It's already done. Mm-hmm. Whatever detours you take.
Let that be then. Don't be like, am I going to, will I win?
Don't keep doubting.
No.
Yeah.
Don't doubt that.
No, by faith.
Right.
By faith, it'll be.
Right.
And I think the biggest problem with faith is this, that you don't want to end up being a chump.
True.
And so, Abraham Hicks, you know, she's really one of the people that really talked about law of attraction. Mm-hmm. Used to follow her big time. Not so much anymore, but mm-hmm. I mean, just used to follow her a lot. Mm-hmm. I remember her saying that really you want to get so, so comfortable, almost quote unquote, pretending to be what you're supposed to be, mm-hmm. behaving like it, mm-hmm. so that it has no choice but to show up.
Mm-hmm.
Some people might call it being posing,
mm-hmm.
fake.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. But so you have to be clear on people mm-hmm. who you hang around with,
right?
So they're on your side, that you're living up.
You are at the cusp of everything right now.
I'm on the cusp.
Too bad the show's over because we could just go from there,
deep.
Girl.
Go deep for that, you know. So what are we? So girlfriend, what's your takeaway from the show today? What's your takeaway?
My takeaway, that you never know where some little nuggets are going to be dropped.
Exactly.
All throughout your day.
And
throughout your house.
Exactly. And to truly this week, let's everybody, you know, show up for people, you know,
appreciate. Whenever you see somebody, make them feel like you're the best thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, you're the thing that makes my day. Hey, guys, how you doing?
I wish I was, I would like to do that more, and I will do that more this week.
We will do this more. Live in the present moment.
Right.
For sure. And just like Elliot. Up our faith for our goals, that the things that we desire, like iron filings to a magnet, what we want
wants us. Like iron filings to a magnet.
This will come to pass.
Yes.
This will come to pass. Not this too will pass, but these things will come to pass.
Right.
And
sometimes this too will pass.
Exactly. All right, everyone, have a great day. Go to our website, Christy, Marie, and Julie. We've got our orders in to update our website, so hopefully our tech person's doing
that. And you can still buy our book out there, The Clutterfly Effect.
Tweak your way.
To total transformation.
By decluttering your life.
Number one Amazon bestseller.
Exactly. Have a great day, everyone. And how was the show tonight, Mom?
It was great.
It was great. It was great.